Deck there! The nearer chase is shortening sail!
Captain Sir Duncan Yearly looked up at the mizzen crosstrees and frowned slightly as the announcement came down from above.
She's taken in her topgallant, sir, the lookout continued. Both of them are,
he added a minute or so later, and Yearly's frown deepened. It was merely a thoughtful frown, however, Hector Aplin Armok observed, and set his own mind to following the captain's thoughts. It could be that the other ship had simply decided she was carrying too much sail for safety. The other two galleons had come to a more northerly heading, about north-northwest, and set their topgallants once they realized destiny was pursuing them. But that didn't mean their commander had been happy about his own decision. His ship's rigs might be considerably more powerful than they would have been 2 or 3 years ago, but very few vessels in the world had sail plans as powerful and well-balanced as those of the present Carisian Navy. Destiny's masts were taller, proportionately, and included the lofty royal masts her quarry lacked. Yet it wasn't simply a matter of more mast height, either. If she'd set every scrap of canvas she had, including all her fore and aft staysails and all three jibs, she would have shown 25 sails. Not only that, the new water-powered Carisian looms meant her sails had a much tighter weave, which let them capture more of the wind's power, and they were cut to the new flat pattern Sir Dustin Oliver had introduced. The ships she was pursuing didn't carry royals or staysails. They would have shown only 10 under the same circumstances. Those sails were still cut to the old bag sail pattern, acting like rounded sacks to catch the wind, rather than the flatter, more perpendicular, and hence more efficient surface of destinies. Hector had to admit that the bag sails looked as if they should have been more powerful, but the superiority of Oliver's new patterns had been conclusively demonstrated in competitive sailing tests in Howell Bay. The proportions of the other ship's sails were significantly different as well, for Destiny's topsails had both a greater hoist and a broader head, which gave each of them significantly more area and made them more powerful. In fact, her topsails were actually her principal sails, whereas the courses set below them remained the primary sails for the ships she was pursuing. Of course, there was a vast difference between the total canvas a ship could set under optimum conditions and the amount it was safe to carry in any given sea state. In some respects, in fact, Destiny and her sisters were actually oversparred. It would have been easy to set too much sail, drive her too hard, even dangerously too hard, under the wrong circumstances. Besides, there was a point at which crowding on more sail actually slowed a ship by driving her head too deeply into the sea, or heeling her so sharply it distorted the water flow around her hull, even if it didn't actually endanger her. So, in most respects, how many sails a ship had mattered less than the total sail area she could show under the current strength of wind and wave. But it did matter how that area was distributed because of how it affected the ship's motion. At the moment, for example, one reason Captain Yearly had set the fore course was that unlike the ship's other square sails, the fore course actually tended to lift the bow slightly, easing the vessel's motion, rather than driving the bow down deeper and harder. A captain had to think about the blanketing effect of his sails as well, and generally speaking, the higher a sail, the greater its heeling effect. So, in heavy weather, the standard order of reducing sail would be to take in first the royals, assuming the ship carried them in the first place, then the topgallants, the courses, and finally the topsails. The courses came off before the higher topsails because of their greater size and the difficulty in handling them, despite the greater heeling effect of the topsails. Hector's own initial estimate that the other galleons were as large as Destiny appeared to have been in error, too. The other ships were at least a little smaller than he'd thought, although not greatly so, which meant Destiny could safely carry more canvas than they could under these conditions. Captain Yearly had been doing just that, having shaken out his reefs and set the fore course. The main course was brailed up to keep it from blanketing the foremast, with the wind dead aft on her new course. And even without her own royals, Destiny's speed had risen to almost 8 knots. She'd been steadily overhauling the other vessels for the past 5 hours now, despite the fact that they'd both put on extra sail of their own once they finally noticed they were being pursued, so it was certainly possible, likely in fact, the chases had decided they couldn't outrun Destiny after all. And if that was the case, there was no point in their risking damage to sails or rigging by carrying too much canvas. Particularly not since it was always possible something would carry away aloft in Destiny, in which case they might be able to outsail her yet. On the other hand, the topgallants would have been the first sails to be furled if a captain decided to shorten for any reason, not simply because of weather concerns. So it was also possible the other ships had simply decided to allow Destiny to overtake them, which would require either a very stupid merchant skipper, given the depredations of Carizian privateers and naval cruisers, or else a...
"I believe we'll clear the ship for action in about another 3 hours, I think, Master Lathic," Yearly said calmly. "We'll be coming up on lunch shortly, I believe, so there's no point rushing things. But see to it all hands get something hot to eat, and plenty of it, if you please."
"Aye, sir," the first lieutenant acknowledged. He beckoned to one of the midshipmen and started giving the lad crisp instructions, and Yearly glanced at Hector.